It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully your day is going well. A Monday, we had really cool weekend with high school football on Friday, the opening of college football on Saturday for some teams anyway. It really gets underway this week. Steelers played their final preseason game. So we got a lot of things we can get into today and throughout the week. You can give me a buzz at any time, 946-0435. Anything that you want to discuss that's on your mind. I heard something, an interesting discussion on Friday about men playing video games. And is that unattractive? That's a fun discussion. I'll get to that here in just a second. Again, 946-0435. That's our number if you want to join us. Penn State has extended athletic director Pat Kraft through 2032 at $2.26 million per year. So that news came out earlier today. The athletic director getting a new contract for another 8 years at $2.26 million per year. James Franklin held his first in-season or preseason or in-season first week press conference earlier today talking about West Virginia. We'll have a whole bunch of discussion on Penn State versus West Virginia throughout the week. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now will join me here in a few minutes to kind of get a little bit of a look ahead of West Virginia and what's at stake for Penn State this year. But we'll see. We'll see if this is the year James Franklin can win a big game. Little game James. Little game James hadn't won a lot of big games in his tenure at Penn State. Can he win some big games this year, meaning a playoff game? Well, that's going to be a primary discussion we will have really for the next 3 months is what will this Penn State team have to do in order to have this be the kind of year in the first year of the 12-team playoff to where people could look at it and say, hey, They took the right step. Is just getting to the playoff enough? They got to win some games. Is it enough for James Franklin? Again, that'll be a fun discussion we will have all year long. All right, before we get into some of the sports stuff, and by the way, if you had a good time at a high school game on Friday, you can give me a call and share any of those stories. Hollidaysburg beating Altoona, that's a tremendous win for Hollidaysburg and a really good game. Congratulations to Golden Tigers for that. And I mentioned this on Friday. We're going to talk a little bit more high school football throughout the course of the year whenever we have some good topics. Here's a fun topic. I just want to bring this up for a couple minutes. And if anybody wants to weigh in on this, you certainly can. There's this influencer, I'm trying to describe her. She's like a TikTok person. Her name's Liz Wheeler. She is an influencer talking about, you know, all kinds of things in the world. Last week, all right, you ready for this, guys? Last week, she said men playing video games is the least attractive hobbies for men, according to women. So I just want to throw that out there because video games are primarily, I'm not being sexist here, video games are primarily a male thing, although a lot of females might end up playing, but it's primarily a male thing. A lot of YouTubers play video games. Twitch streamers play video games. This woman made the news for saying that men playing video games, that's the least attractive thing that men can do as a hobby. So I'm just curious if anybody out there agrees or disagrees with this. 946-0435. This woman has been getting clobbered by a whole bunch of people And clearly, whenever you offend a whole bunch of men, because men everywhere play video games, and she has offended a lot of people, so she's been getting clobbered. But there are a number of people, including a good number of women, that have kind of taken her side and said, yeah, you know what? The whole video game thing, it does make a man less attractive. So anybody out there want to weigh in on that? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Now, I say this a lot on the show. Most people who listen to sports talk radio are going to be older men. And most people who call this show are older men. So if we have any young men out there, any young men, married, single, divorced, thrice divorced, whatever. Where has the video game thing come in to play with your relationship or woman or you know, so on and so forth? 946-0435. I will say this. I'm 50 years old. I am not a gamer. I respect anybody that wants to enjoy whatever it is they want to do to pass the time. I don't fully get grown men wanting to play video games 3 and 4 hours a day. I've never gotten that fully. And along those lines, a little bit, I'll throw in a separate tangent here. Grown men who love professional wrestling. It's like, okay, whatever. Because here's my little personal story. So I'm 50. I got a Nintendo, give or take, like 1988. I don't know, somewhere around there. Remember when the Nintendos, they were sold with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, and they would come with the gun you could shoot the duck on the screen with. That's when I got a Nintendo. Probably around 98 or 88. Might have been 89, but probably around 88. So I played Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, and then I got into some of the really adventure games like Zelda, Metroid, Mega Man. If you're somebody who's a little bit older, you obviously remember Zelda. Metroid is one of the hardest video games of all time. It leads a lot of the rankings like for toughest video games. And then Mega Man was a very difficult game, too. Those were the games I played. The kind of games that, man, if you jumped into those games, you were looking at 3-4 hours. Because to make any progress, to beat them, you had to play these games. You had to give up your life. You basically had to give up your life to play these video games. So this is what I did, like, during my teenage years. 88, 89, 90, 91, maybe. But I beat Legend of Zelda, give or take, 90, 91, whenever. I don't know when it was. I was still in high school. And after I beat Legend of Zelda Part 2. After I beat Legend of Zelda Part 2, which was an unbelievably difficult game, and Metroid was an unbelievably difficult game, I beat that game. It took like 6 months of playing for 3 or 4 hours a day. You know what I did as a teenager? I quit. Cold turkey. I said, you know what? I'm not wasting my life playing video games for 4 hours a day for 5 months to beat one game. I mean, these games were just incredibly difficult. And I decided at 16, 17 years old, whatever I was, I'm just not going to do this anymore. And I really didn't. I didn't grow up playing video games after that. I didn't play. I've never played a game of Madden. I've never played a game of Madden. Never. Not one time. I grew up playing some of these terrible video games on Atari and early sports games on Nintendo. Now you've got all these incredible graphics. The new EA Sports college football game has these unbelievable graphics and everything and details. But I never really played any of that. Now, about 6 years ago, maybe, raising my kids, being at home a lot with my kids, my wife dusted off an old Nintendo that she had from years earlier, and she had this cartridge of Super Mario World. Now, Super Mario World is, I don't know where in the incarnation of the whole Super Mario game. It was like the 5th, 6th, 7th game or something like that. Very fun game. Incredibly, incredibly difficult game. And you know what? After 20-something years of having a hiatus with video games, I jumped into Super Mario World, kind of got addicted to it. I have an addictive personality. I got addicted to this game and ended up playing it for 2-3 months. And I'm proud to say that I beat Super Mario World, which is, again, a very difficult game from around 93, 95, 96, somewhere around there. And after I beat that game, I did it again, cold turkey, because I could feel it coming back. Like, I'm not going to play these games for 3 hours a day and just kind of, I almost said waste life. That's not appropriate. I will offend people saying that. But I'm not just going to spend my whole life playing video games and ignoring the rest of the world. So, long story short, this woman last week says that men who play video games, that's the least attractive hobby for men, according to women. And so a lot of men jumped on this woman and ridiculed her. But there have been a lot of women. So if there's any women out there, we never get... I've been on the air here for about 3.5 years at Leitner Communications. We had a woman call last week. It was only like the third woman, female caller we've ever had. So if there's any women out there, what do you think about your man playing video games? Is that unattractive? All right, we'll get into some football here in just a second. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. We'll talk some Penn State football.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
Welcome back. Phone lines are open, 946-0435. I want to talk a little college football here. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now will join me here in a moment. But I will open up the phone lines, 946-0435. Actually, he's calling in right now. The question I have is with regards to James Franklin, Penn State. When we take a look at what is at stake for Penn State this season, top 10 team, whole lots expected with Drew Aller, Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen, Abdul Carter. This is the year, right? This is kind of supposed to be the year. So, with that, I will ask Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now, for this to be a successful season, Joe, does Penn State just have to get into the playoff? Or do they have to win a game in the playoff?
Yeah, Corey, thanks for having me on, as always. I think you got to win at least one game, right? And I'm saying that kind of tentatively. Obviously, you never know what's going to happen in the season. Like, if Penn State makes the playoff, doesn't win a game, but they make it despite Drew Aller missing time due to injury or Singleton missing time or multiple key stars missing it, then we'll see it through a different lens. But assuming everybody's healthy and everything goes according to plan, making the playoff, I don't know if it would be enough. I think looking at one stat that's been thrown around a lot is that Penn State would have made a 12-team playoff in six of the past 8 years. But that means that if Penn State makes the playoff, simply just makes the playoff and doesn't win a game, then they wouldn't really be covering any new ground under James Franklin. They wouldn't be really taking the next step. So assuming everybody's healthy, I think Penn State needs to do something in the postseason as opposed to just making it.
All right, and I agree with all aspects of what you said, especially the part about, hey, they've been 10-2. They've been in the top 12. People expect them to be about that. Here's the other layer that I would add. Drew Aller could be gone next year. I do think for sure Nicholas Singleton's gone next year. No, running backs are stupid to come back for their senior year of college football. They have to go to save their body, which means Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen could both be gone next year. Abdul Carter is probably gone next year. So if you don't win a playoff game this year, Joe, I'm not sure they're going to have much of a chance here for the next year. If you can't win it with your most prized quarterback recruit ever and the number one player in high school in Nicholas Singleton and a guy like that, if you can't win it now, I mean, I think this would, it would be a gigantic missed opportunity.
Oh, absolutely, Corey. And that's one thing Joel Klatt was talking about Penn State on the Herd with Colin Cowherd. Last week, he was bringing home a point that a lot of Penn State people are probably bringing home, is that this recruiting class was looked at as a class that could change the program. Going back to when Drew Aller, Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen, Abdul Carter, and all these guys signed in 2022, or I should say December 2021 for the 2022 class, it was at a time where Penn State had just gone 11-11 over a two-year stretch, and they needed something to inject life into the program, and that recruiting class signing was something that did that. And honestly, if Penn State can't make a little noise in the postseason with these guys, then yeah, it will be looked at as a huge missed opportunity, because classes like the class of 2022 don't really come along often. I think the class of 2018 was probably 2022 and 2018 are probably James Franklin's two best classes at Penn State. And the 2018 class, yeah, obviously Micah Parsons was great, but overall that class didn't really deliver what it was expected to deliver, I don't think. So, yeah, without making at least some sort of run in the postseason, I think that would definitely be looked at as a missed opportunity for this class of 2022.
Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now joining us, I'm guessing, with the season right around the corner in a few days. You've already given your season record prediction. Well, how do you got them going? 11-1, 10-2, 9-3? What do you got?
That's a good question. I say 10-2, but I'm honestly, honestly torn between that and 11-1. It's easy to predict 10-2, right? Because I don't think any team has gone exactly 10-2 in the regular season as much over the past 8 years as Penn State has. I think it's been five times in the past 8 years they've finished exactly 10-2 in the regular season. I think that one of these three road games, Wisconsin, West Virginia, and USC, I see Penn State losing one of those games. I'm not sure which one. I kind of lean towards USC because I think that presents, aside from Ohio State, that presents the toughest matchup Penn State has this season. I could easily see Penn State winning. They'll be favored in every game except the Ohio State game, so it's hard to say that they can't go 11-1. But because going 3-0 in those road games and those environments will be pretty tough, I'll go with 10-2, and I definitely think 10-2 is good enough to get them into the postseason.
Okay. So here's a good jumping-off point from that. As Joe said, Penn State's probably going to be favored in every game except Ohio State. So that would give you 11 wins. If you allow yourself one other slip-up, say Wisconsin or USC, I doubt it would be West Virginia. It's possible, but Penn State's usually going to be ready to play this kind of game. But say you've built in one other slip-up, okay? So 10 and 2, with all the players on this team that they've got and the success the program's had, 10-2 is absolutely expected. If they go 9-3, is James Franklin on the hot seat enter next year?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I would say hot seat, I would say no, but I think that the Fire Franklin crowd would have probably more ammunition than it's had at any point in his Penn State tenure. I think anything less than 10-2 with this schedule, not that it's an easy schedule, but you're not playing Michigan, you're not playing Oregon. The non-conference schedule, you do have West Virginia, but that's not really a gauntlet either. And obviously with the talent Penn State has coming back too, it's not acceptable, I don't think, to win any fewer than 10 games. So it's hard for me to say he'd be on the hot seat, Corey, because what's happened at places like Nebraska where the grass definitely isn't always greener. When you get rid of a coach in college football, you're basically almost a baseball team being really good, like 90 wins or so, hovering around 90 wins, but committing to a rebuild because you're not going to the World Series. That's not a perfect analogy, but that's something, the Steelers fire Mike Tomlin, TJ Watt's not just going to enter the transfer portal. There's nothing like that. I just think getting rid of a coach is a much bigger gamble in the college game than it is in any other sport, but I think the people that want James Franklin gone, if they can't make the postseason this year, barring really bad luck with injuries, I think they'll have more ammunition probably than they've ever had before.
Yeah, it's very well said. I like the baseball comparison. James has, 7 years left on the 10-year contract that he signed, and so these are the kind of things you play out in your head. I do think they go 10-2 and make the playoff. But 10-2 is a road game, right, Joe? I mean, they could go 11-1. 11-1 would secure you a home game. I'm not sure 10-2, because look, the way the schedule works out, if you lose to Ohio State and you lose to either Wisconsin or USC, you're not going to have really any other real good wins on that schedule, okay? So if you're 10-2, well, I do think that would still get them in. There might not be a single high quality victory among those 10 wins. Okay, so you're looking at an 11 or 12 seed most likely, and a road game going to some place to some really good program. So that's why all of this is kind of a fascinating interconnected story. If they can go 11-1 and get a home game, boom, yeah, they can win that game. But if they lose that second game, other than Ohio State, if they lose a second game, It could theoretically, if you connect the dots, kind of spoil the whole season, because now you got to go on the road to a place like, I don't know, a Clemson or LSU or Alabama or someplace like that, and try to win a game in a playoff on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nick Saban's bracket dark college game day panel each made their playoff predictions this past Saturday. He had Penn State traveling to Ole Miss as a 9 seed playing an 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And we all saw what happened against Ole Miss in the Peach Bowl last season. Granted, there were a lot of opt-outs, and Penn State wasn't bringing the A-team to Atlanta. But still, that would present a very tough matchup, especially in Oxford. And I think Ole Miss is actually one of the better scenarios as far as road environment goes, because you'd rather go to Ole Miss than you would Death Valley, either Death Valley, LSU, or Clemson. So, yeah, I think having that home game, Kirk Herbstreit has Penn State also in the 8-9 game, but as the 8 seed playing at home where they'd host Notre Dame, I think that's definitely a much more favorable scenario. And it really shows, like in basketball, the 8-9 games, whether you're an 8 or a 9 seed, it doesn't really make too much a difference because you're going to be playing in the same place. But football, that extra spot would be huge. So, yeah, I think having the travel on the road definitely would not be ideal. And in order to avoid that, the only foolproof way for Penn State to avoid that really would be to go 11-1.
You know, it's interesting. Just kind of doing the math in my head as you're saying all that stuff. I don't see any way they could be an 8 or 9 seed. Okay, so if you go 11-1, you're not an 8 or 9 seed. There's no way. There's no way you're an 8 or 9 seed at 11-1. And if you go 10-2, I don't see how you can be an 8 or 9 seed because you won't have any quality wins. So, I mean, to me, in that scenario, at best, you're a 10. You see what I'm getting at? I was just kind of, if you mentioned that both Saban and Herbstreit have them in an 8 or 9 game, I'd love to pick their brains on how the hell you could see getting in an 8 or 9 slot.
Yeah, I think that, I think for reference, going back to last season, Penn State finished 10-2 and ended up number 10, and they would have been playing, I don't know who they would have been playing.
Oh, I think they would have played Ohio State. I think it was Ohio State.
Yeah,
it was in the 10-7, yeah.
Yeah, and that would have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think you make a good point. I think that if Penn State goes 11-1, they'd probably be in the top four, if not very close to the top four. They would certainly be hosting a playoff game. Or
I'd say sixth at worst. They might not have any great wins. You know, I don't know how good USC is going to be. But regardless, the point is, you know, I don't know. That, especially for Herbstreit, that sounds like a pretty lazy, kind of a lazy prediction for Herbstreit if he's got a, I just don't see how the math would add up. So anyway, all right, I want to move on to expectations, Joe, and how the world of college football is now going to become the playoff, because you brought up an excellent comparison a couple minutes ago about if you're a 90 win team in Major League Baseball and you're in the playoff all the time, but you're firing your manager because you're not going to the World Series. Well, look, Nebraska did do that, and Nebraska has never recovered from it. But the bottom line is, in college basketball, you are determined, you are perceived to be whatever, however many times you get to the NCAA tournament and how much success you have in the NCAA tournament. If you're a high-quality program in college basketball and you get in the NCAA tournament and you lose the first round all the time, your coach is getting fired. If you lose in the second round all the time, like Pitt's Jamie Dixon did a good bit as a number 3 seed, you're always losing to a lower seed, then your coach is going to be judged on failing when it matters most. When we take a look at college football now, the playoff, if you don't make the playoff, and again, let's talk about this specifically for Penn State. If you're James Franklin and you don't make the playoff, how much pressure in any given year, how much pressure is there on him? And then we take it a step further, as we discussed earlier. If you don't win a game in a playoff for 2, 3, 4 years in a row, for God's sake. I mean, again, we are going to be judging everything now, not on 10-2. And James wants to be judged on 10-2. He likes to. He even said it today. You know, 10 wins is great everywhere, but that's not the expectation at Penn State. So how much are we going to have to just completely reevaluate everything we think about college football programs and base it on these playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting, the basketball analogy, right? Because obviously, I don't want to say John Calipari was ran out of town at Kentucky. He got a lot of money at another school, and I think the combination of that and both parties, I think, being more or less ready to move on led to him making a change. I think that if Penn State doesn't win a playoff game within the next several years, I think Franklin would be viewed as probably a less successful version of John Calipari, because Calipari, even though he did win a national championship at Kentucky and got to a few Final Fours, you could only lose to the St. Peter's and Oaklands of the world in March so much before people get tired of it. And I think if Penn State doesn't do something big in the postseason within the next few years, I think we could see something similar that happened in Lexington over the spring take place in Happy Valley. I can't envision a scenario where James Franklin is fired by Penn State, but could James Franklin find, and the combination of that opportunity and Penn State being more or less ready to move on, could that end up happening? I think that's a more realistic scenario, but that won't pop up, I don't think, for the next few years at least.
Wrapping up, Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. A lot of good discussion points here. I want to talk about James Franklin and the perception of him versus the reality. The reality is James Franklin's done a really, really good job at Penn State. The perception of James Franklin is a text I got 5 minutes ago that says James Franklin is a lousy effing head coach. There's the difference in perception and reality. Because reality is he has won a lot of games. Perception, he loses the big games all the time, and he can't get Penn State over the top. Which world do we live in? Which universe do we live in? Do we live in the universe that James Franklin's a good coach, and if Penn State were to move on from him, it could be trouble like Nebraska? Or do we live in a world where James Franklin is a lousy effing head coach, and anybody else they would put in there could win some playoff games? Which universe do we live in?
Well, I definitely don't think he's a lousy coach. Is James Franklin top-notch when it comes to strategy and schemes and in-game decision-making? No, I think that's been well-established. But I think Penn State knew that when they hired him. Going back to Bill O'Brien, his predecessor, obviously, we all know that Bill O'Brien was that type of X's and O's guy, was the guy that would design an offense, call an offense, and was known pretty much more as much, if anything else, for his strategy and just his mind for football. And James Franklin, I don't think it's any secret, he's more of a CEO. He's more of a guy that would be the face of a program. He's a guy that kind of thrives on speaking to alumni, just especially in this era of NIL, raising funds, working to hype people up for Penn State football and being that face of Penn State football. And that's his biggest strength, and that's led to his success in recruiting and his success overall. And I think that's far more of a strength than what he provides as far as X's and O's go. I think he's smart enough to know that he's not a guy like Bill O'Brien when it comes to that strategy, and therefore he's hired great assistants in the past. He was the guy that brought in Manny Diaz. He brought in Joe Moorhead. He brought in a guy who everybody's expecting to be a great get at OC and Andy Kotelnicki. He brought in Tom Allen from Indiana. He knows how to surround himself with people that can coach very well. So there's so much more to coaching, I think we know, than just X's and O's and strategy. And I think what James Franklin lacks in what guys like Bill O'Brien are good at, he makes up for in being a pretty solid face and CEO of a program. So to say he's a lousy coach, no, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either. But why do people think that? Because you know that's true. You know it's true that people think that. Yeah. Is it just because we live in a world of crazy people? Or is it just that people only want to judge the Penn State football program on Ohio State and Michigan or big games? I mean, that's where it's fascinating that, again, I mentioned the perception versus the reality, And look, we're talking about both ends of the spectrum. A lot of people are in the middle, of course. But still, it's not fair to James for people to call him a lousy coach. But at the same time, outside of some nice wins in 2016, the big wins haven't necessarily been there. So how do we bridge the gigantic gap in the perception?
I think that a lot of that perception from the people that are really on the anti-Franklin train, Corey, is because Joe Paterno is rightly regarded as one of the best football coaches in history. I think that leads to a bit of somewhat of a Mandela effect, right, where people forget that only one team. Under Joe Paterno. Obviously, you think with Joe Paterno's legacy, and I'm not trying to say that Joe was overrated as a coach. I don't really think that at all. But a guy with that type of reverence around Penn State, you kind of think that he would have won, you know, 7, 8, 9 national titles. And it didn't. That's not really what the reality was. I'm not saying that says anything negatively about Joe Paterno as a football coach. I'm saying that it kind of illustrates how hard it is to win national championships. And people think that at Penn State, if you're not winning national championships after a decade, you're no good. I think that perception is created by a misunderstanding and not really an appreciation for how hard it is to win a national title. And as far as bridging the gap goes, I just think people need to remember where Penn State was when James Franklin took over, coming off the sanctions, and where Penn State was even before everything that happened in 2011 took place, where we talked about this a few times on the show before. Penn State was not beating Ohio State and Michigan under Joe Paterno.
Joe's record, I got to look up against Michigan. Yeah. Joe's record against Ohio State was 8-14. And I will go here. Because I've said, you know, this is not an anti-Penn State thing. This is a matter of historical fact. He was 6-10 against Michigan. Had Penn State been in the Big Ten 20 or 30 years earlier, do we think Joe Paterno is what Joe Paterno became? Because he's not. All right. But Penn State dominated the East and was independent until 1993. And they were able to beat up on Boston College and Syracuse and West Virginia and Temple and all these people. And yes, now look, don't get me wrong. Joe did a tremendous job in the 1980s. He won a lot of big games, way more big games than James Franklin has ever won. But the reality is, Penn State was not as good as Ohio State under Joe Paterno. And Penn State was not as good as Michigan, by and large, under Joe Paterno. So is it fair that we judge James Franklin on Ohio State and Michigan, when again Joe was 8-14 against Ohio State and 6-10 against Michigan?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily fair to judge it. I think LeVar Arrington hit it right on the head. This was probably 2 days, maybe even less than that, after Penn State lost to Michigan last season. He was on a podcast. I forget the name of the podcast, but it was Fox Sports affiliated, and he basically said, and this is a guy that played for Joe Paterno, was one of the best players Joe Paterno ever had. He pointed out that when LeVar was at Penn State, they didn't beat Ohio State and Michigan, and Joe didn't beat Ohio State and Michigan before or after LeVar left. I think that's a great point you bring up on the schedules that Penn State played. And Penn State did have some tough schedules in the 1980s. That 1981 schedule was probably still the toughest in program history, I'd say. They didn't have to play the big dogs in the Big Ten back then, and instead they were playing Temple and Boston College every single year. It's just such a different time when people think about what a certain group of people thinks about how they want Penn State to be remembered and the Penn State that they remember. It was a lot different of a time just in terms of the schedule than it is right now, and that's not even factoring in the transfer portal, NIL, and all the other stuff that obviously would have been crazy to think about back in that time period.
Joe's always been a frequent contributor to the show. Hopefully we continue that throughout the season. Enjoy your time down in Morgantown. Hopefully it'll be somewhat of a decent game. I think Penn State might end up pounding them pretty good. But, Joe, appreciate the time as always, pal. Enjoy the week.
Right. You bet. Thanks, Corey.
Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. And again, I'll make the statement as controversial as people might want to think it is. Penn State kind of is still now what it kind of always was under Joe Paterno since it joined the Big Ten. The third best program in the conference. So I know James gets hammered a lot. And I did get another text from a person who had mentioned about James being a lousy head coach. He said, why do we think that? It's because of his in-game decisions, his constant having at least one position group each season being subpar. I agree. I mean, there are reasons why, James Franklin has not achieved the kind of success maybe people would have hoped during his tenure. But again, I'm going to go back to the probably somewhat far-fetched idea that Penn State fans had or have of what the program really is. It was always the third best program in the Big Ten under Joe Paterno. Period. Okay? And it's the third best program in the Big Ten under James Franklin. So this notion, and again, I know this sounds anti-Paterno, but this is just the reality. Penn State beat up on a lot of people for a long time. And Joe got a whole bunch of those 409 against bad teams while going 8-14 against Ohio State and 6-10 against Michigan. He couldn't beat Ohio State or Michigan either. So I'll just mention this. What would Penn State be? How many of all those undefeated seasons would Penn State have had? What would Penn State be had it been in the Big Ten for all of Joe Paterno's tenure? Probably would have been the third best team in the conference for the last 70 years.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Cup Series race recap from Daytona. Shocking the NASCAR world and upending the playoffs, Harrison Burton edges Kyle Busch for his first career win, launching himself into the playoffs instantly.
I struggled to put it into words. For me, just the circumstances, obviously, the way the last 3 years have gone, the way I wanted to represent myself, the way I wanted to represent this team, to have the kind of walls closing in on my time to get to drive this historic car and then to find a way to win while those walls are kind of closing in, to me is really, really special. It almost makes the last 3 years worth it, but I'd much rather won before now. But it's just been so hard, and that's the way it should be. The Cup Series is really, really hard, but to get the Wood Brothers 100th win, to get my very first cup win, it's really, really hard to put in words. I cried my whole cool down lap. I've never cried after a race win ever in my life.
Let's see here. It's his first career win in 98 starts, 100th Wood Brothers win, and he doesn't have a ride for 2025. This should put him on the map. By the way, his dad, Jeff Burton, couldn't be more proud. Kyle Busch was second. He is still winless this year and can't point his way into the playoffs. Followed by Christopher Bell, Cody Ware, and Ty Gibbs rounds out the top five. Up next for the NASCAR Cup Series is the final regular season race from Darlington, the Lady in Black. The last chance for drivers to win their way into the playoffs, and it's going down Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern on USA. This is the final lap.
Progressive presents good news, bad news, dumb news, then great news. Good news. Your coworker Kyle said bundling home and auto insurance with Progressive could save you money. Bad news. While saying this, Kyle was eating your clearly labeled lunch. Dumb news. Pizza near work costs $7 a slice, and it tastes like drywall covered in ketchup. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and enjoy more lunches far away from Kyle. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states. Wake up. Breakfast and Nature Made vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand.
based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at BoswellPipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
All right, appreciate J.M. Boswell for being our presenting sponsor each and every day. If you're heading out to a game or hunting trip, fishing trip, stop on by J.M. Boswell, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria. Tell them that you heard me talking about them on Sports Central and how much we appreciate their support. We were talking in the last segment about how the perception of Penn State football forever has been this tremendously successful program, which it has been. But what would life have been like had they been in the Big Ten? And I got a text here that says, in the 70s and 80s, Penn State would have whooped up on Michigan and OSU. The Big Ten was OSU and Michigan for those two decades because of the rest of the Big Ten stunk. And in the 80s, OSU was terrible. Name one school other than those two who was good in those two decades. Plus, they would get stomped nearly every year in the Rose Bowl. But the point I'm making is, if Penn State had been in the Big Ten from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, would Penn State's football program ever had grown to the level that it did by the 70s and 80s? If they had to play Michigan and Ohio State every year, what would things have been like then? Dave in Hollidaysburg. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, Corey. How you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy.
I think what helps shape people's perceptions, and I think true in this case, is the emotional attachment that people have to Penn State football under Joe Paterno.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these fans grew up with Joe Paterno as a coach,
yes,
at Penn State. Obviously, the many good things that Joe Paterno did for the university in terms of raising money, bringing the football program to where it is. And I think there is almost a romanticizing of the era of Joe Paterno football. You can, Corey, you can quote statistics till the cows came home about how Joe Paterno had a losing record to Michigan and Ohio State. That's not going to impact a lot of the fans because of the view that they have of Penn State football emotionally growing up with Penn State football, growing up with the program, and the emotional investment they have to the program. I make the analogy to, and this is maybe a little bit of a crazy one, but the Kennedys in politics. John F. Kennedy wasn't that great a president, but the Bay of Pigs and all that. But there's an emotional attachment aspect of the Kennedys. And I think with Penn State football, and I'm not trying to belittle it or make fun of it, but there is an emotional attachment that people have to Penn State football. And when you become critical of the Penn State football program, you take on those emotional attachments. And I think, unlike Joe Paterno, James Franklin has a lot more to worry about in terms of NIL deals, sponsorships, transfers, all those types of things. And I think he is a great CEO, but I also think he is, at best, a 10-2, 11-1, 9-3 coach. And I think that's the ceiling. I mean, we've been here with him for 8-9 seasons? He is. He's a great CEO. The program has stayed out of trouble. But at the same time, he's still looking for the Joe Moorhead on offense and the Manny Diaz on defense.
Hey, Dave, I just want to tell you.
That's the reality of what you have in front of you.
Within the context of what we're talking about today, Dave, all the things you just said, it's one of the best college football calls I've ever had. I listened intently to everything you're saying. I think you're spot on 1,000,000% within the context of what we're talking about. You mentioned the word romanticize. Because whether people want to agree with this or not, and I realize some people are like, just God, you're hating on Penn State or Paterno. What I'm saying is what Penn State is now is probably what Penn State would have been under Paterno had they been in the Big Ten the whole time. And I don't think people want to admit that. I don't think people want to know about that. I don't think people want to hear that because it comes across as a heavy criticism of Paterno. But if Penn State had been in the Big Ten from the start of Joe Paterno's career, they probably would have lost more often than not to both Ohio State and Michigan. And so therefore you don't – and so what we rip the hell out of James Franklin for, what do we rip James Franklin for, Dave? He beats everybody – except Ohio State and Michigan. I'm here to tell you that I think, by and large, if Penn State had been in the Big Ten this whole time, this is what Penn State football has always been, forever. They win a ton of games, they win some, but they probably would have lost to Ohio State and Michigan. Now, whether people want to look back on history through that lens, that's up to you. But I'm sitting here and telling you, and you mentioned, you know, you can throw statistics at fans all, and they don't want to hear it because they've romanticized this whole thing. Penn State has not been as good as Ohio State or Michigan ever. Not ever. In the history of college football, Ohio State and Michigan are ahead of Penn State. End of discussion. And so where are we now in 2024? Ohio State and Michigan are ahead of Penn State. So what's really changed? Well, what's changed is James is not a good game coach. Everybody can see that. Joe was a tremendous game coach. James is not a good game coach. So that's where people look at it on Saturdays, and they think that he's blowing all these games, when in reality, Ohio State and Michigan are just better, and they've been better than Penn State for 50 years.
I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, unfortunately for James Paterno, James Franklin, they have been better than Penn State sincerely better than James Franklin in the Penn State era, to the point that they're the obstacle in James Franklin's path.
Yep.
They've won national championships when Penn State hasn't. And unfortunately for James Franklin, until he wins a national championship or at least a significant number of playoff games, he's going to be relegated to the he's not a good game coach.
No doubt about it. Dave, I hate to cut you off, but I've got to take a break. Great call. I'll try to get somebody else in for 30 seconds on the other side because now we got a lot of people calling. I knew I'd catch the ear of people with this discussion.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5, on Saturday from 9 to 4, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast bread and rolls, Pacific Coast bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. You fly.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Brugaroo, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
All right, welcome back. Real quick, Eric and Altoona, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I'm almost out of time. Go, Eric.
I think your question on women and men and video games, to me, I would think it's back to it's a boys' game, your man, grow up.
Yeah.
And
that's
and
how women, that's how too, women, that's how women view it anyway.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I never was into them, but I listen to a lot of talk, political talk, so on. And my wife gets frustrated because it's like she can't talk. It's a shame on me. And I do turn it off, but it's like when that's going on. So when someone's focused on a video game, you don't really have their attention when you're trying to talk to them.
Yeah, and so women, they want to have your attention, right?
Exactly.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. All right. Sorry, I had a couple more people trying to call in on that Penn State discussion. I'm sorry that we did not get to your call, so that was kind of a... late in the show, kind of deep dive into all that stuff. We'll take your calls tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.
Sports Central is